Good morning, folks. You're listening to Right Side Up with your host, Bill Huff and Mike Tagliavia, where we're talking local politics with an emphasis on what's happening in your neighborhood. How are we doing this morning, Mike?
We're doing okay. How about you?
Fine, fine. May, it's starting to feel more and more like spring here. Yes. A couple of things happen in springtime. Finally, the legislature quits.
Finally.
They're done. So we're going to get in and talk about that. But May 1st, of course, is turkey hunt.
Yes, yes.
And yeah, and you've had a weekend of chasing turkeys.
I had a friend up to visit to try our luck, and we saw some, heard some, but we're not successful.
I've never been. Of course, I've seen plenty of turkeys out there while I have been hunting, whatnot. But no, I've never did. So you guys, pre-dawn, you're out in the woods and start calling about sun up.
We kind of wait and see if we can hear one first and see if we can call one or move in closer and then try to call and either just sit and remain as still as you can or just put out a couple of decoys and see if you can't get them to come to you. We had one get close, but not close enough.
Yeah.
And, we couldn't get to him, so we were trying to get him to walk to us, and they don't always do that.
No.
So, but it was fun. It's better than
not seeing anything. Not shooting or killing or getting or
yes,
yeah.
So, but it was
well. One of these days, I have to try that.
Oh yeah,
particularly now. Now I'm of that age where you get an annual license.
Yeah.
So prior to this, if I want to go turkey hunting, I'd have to buy the tag. Well, now all the tags are, come with the license. I'm so old, they give them to me now.
Oh, okay. They don't think you're going to go get them?
Probably that's it. Yeah, they don't care. Go ahead.
Yeah.
We'll give you the ticket. Good luck.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
It's fun. It's nice to get out. It was, there was a threat of rain, but we lucked out. We had a little bit of sun, a little bit of cloud, so it was good.
Anytime you can spend in the woods. Spring, winter, fall, whenever. It's always a great time. If I go into the woods this time of year, and it should be getting out there if I had the time, do a little mushroom hunting.
Yeah, it's getting close to that time, too. Yep. So my wife was talking to me about that. We haven't had a lot of luck.
No?
No.
Well, it depends on what you're hunting for. Some of them are pretty common. That comes up a little bit later. The springtime mushrooms. Some are readily available, and some you gotta hunt for. But it's part of the process, part of being out in the woods looking.
It's always fun when you find them, though.
Yeah, I did learn that this time of year you go mushroom hunting with a pistol.
Well, I imagine that there are certain things that just won't walk away or run away when they see you in the woods.
Well, so bears are hungry right now.
Yeah,
and they're actually looking for mushrooms too.
Yeah, and if you happen to come across a sow with cubs, she's going to be very protective.
That's exactly what happened to me. Yep, just a year or two ago. Yeah. Out looking for mushrooms, and I could hear the bear coming, so I stopped. And she got close enough, so she winded me. Stood right up on her hind legs, started woofing at me.
Right.
And I could hear the other one, which I presumed were the cubs, still in the background. But yeah, I go with a pistol. I hunt my mushrooms with a pistol now, Mike.
You get the different kind of mushrooms than me. I've never had any to fight
back. I go for the big ones.
I never got any mushrooms that fought back.
Well, I tell you what, based on the stats that you brought here before the show, you might want to go armed anyway.
Yeah.
Well, this is insane. It's something we've talked about quite a bit on the show.
Yeah.
Because, you mentioned, nobody else is talking about this.
No, we don't.
It's really rare.
And we don't. When I'm out and about, I don't hear people talking about it.
Well, even on the news, it's rare that they mention the our northern border.
No, radio silence.
Swanton sector.
It's memory hold because they keep downplaying the problem. It's a huge issue.
Well, it's worse than most would ever imagine.
Well, it's worse for a lot of reasons, not only for the safety of our citizens, whether it be Vermonters or Americans, period, Because at this point, every state is a border state.
Somebody said 15,000 now, whatever.
Something a day?
No. This is in Vermont. They're now residents of Vermont, I guess. There's been 15,000.
However
you want to, determine a column or name them.
And there are, people who say, well, first of all, you have the known suspected terrorists.
Well, yeah, we're actually not talking about those that are resident. We're talking about the ones that are crossing the border. Yeah. And more than likely, most of those are not stopping to settle in Vermont. They're headed somewhere.
Yeah.
And the latest numbers you had?
Yeah, it's crazy. I've got two articles here. Both are originally from the Senate Square, but one of them is pulled from Vermont Daily Chronicle, dated May 10 by Bethany Blankley. It says, Vermont's border continues to see all-time record illegal crossings. Despite being stretched thin and understaffed, Border Patrol agents at the northern border continue to apprehend a record number of illegal border crossers. In the busiest northern border sector of Swanton, which is our border sector.
Our sector, yeah. It starts in Maine, comes across New Hampshire, Vermont, and into New York.
Yeah, and in this article it says it includes all of Vermont, six upstate New York counties, and three New Hampshire counties. Okay. In the busiest northern border sector of Swanton, Border Patrol agents made history by apprehending the greatest number of illegal border crossers in sector history of 1,109 in March, according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection data.
We're talking just a couple of months ago, March.
Yeah.
Still snow on the ground.
Yeah.
Right?
And they're marching across the border in record numbers.
1,000 people cross the northern border. Not the entire northern border. Right here.
The Swanton sector.
New York, Vermont, New Hampshire. I thought it included a little bit of Maine too, but 1,000 people apprehended.
Those that were right. We're not even talking about the gotaways.
Okay.
Now, and I was reading. It's always good to read the comments because somebody commented. Okay, what happened after they were apprehended? We don't know what happened to them. Did they get deported? Did they just get a free cell phone? All the other BS. And we'll give you a court date 3 years from today.
Well, supposedly the agreement between Trudeau and Biden was that those apprehended on the northern border, I thought, were going to be deported. But who knows? It's odd that we're making records, Mike, because the intent of that whole thing, I thought, was to discourage people from crossing the northern border.
It's not working.
No.
Not for these numbers.
It's obviously not. Not if we're setting records here just a couple of months ago.
Right. Yeah. Well, compare this to agents apprehended 37 illegal border crossers in March of 2021. So a very short time ago, it was very, very few.
Well, 3 years ago, and I think that was pretty typical. They didn't have 1,000 in a year,
right?
Three or 4 years ago, and now we're 1,000 in a month, setting new records.
Well, Biden and his Director of Homeland Security, Mayorkas, have basically rolled out the welcome mat. They've not really demonstrated any real will to stop this.
So the only one that has expressed any interest in stopping it or slowing the flow or at least apprehending these individuals was Governor Sununu in Hampshire.
He's working with Border Patrol agents and
set up a task force.
Right, New Hampshire law enforcement.
And the reason that he cited that he did that, one of his major concerns with that many people crossing the northern border was that I think 85% of those crossing our borders illegally that were on the terrorist watch list were coming over the northern border.
Yeah, and that's the other article that I have talking about the known suspected terrorists.
You've probably got some numbers there.
What numbers was it? For that, let me get into this.
Okay.
Finish this other article. Those they apprehended in March of 2024 came from 40 countries.
Oh my word!
Okay, the top three nationalities of those apprehended were India 408, Bangladesh 323 and Mexico 170. And this is from the border Swanton Sector Chief Patrol Agent Robert Garcia.
All right, so Mike, India, Bangladesh, and number three is Mexico, 170. Now, why would 170 Mexicans fly from Mexico to Canada to cross the northern border when there is a southern border with Mexico to start with?
Well, in this article,
there's obviously there's got to be a reason.
Well, there's no border wall. Here,
very few people are watching. It's not in the press,
and the Border Patrol is stretched thin.
You know, well, that brings up a good point because a lot of people crossing the southern border want to get caught. There are some that don't.
Yeah. I mean,
but the idea is you cross the border, you turn yourself in, you get the court date, like you said, and then you go about your business.
But you don't get the court date. You're getting signed up for all these free programs. By these non-governmental organizations that are actually helping facilitate this nonsense.
Yeah, so my point is, though, those 170 Mexicans that flew from Mexico to Canada to intentionally cross the northern border, not the southern border, they can't be here for good reason. There's something going on.
They're trying to sneak across, and it's easier.
Of course, yeah.
And here's one of the reasons why. The U.S.-Canada border, and this is from the article, is the longest international border in the world at 5,525 miles. Unlike the U.S.-Mexico border, there are no border walls or similar barriers separating the U.S. from Canada, and most of the northern border is unmanned and unpatrolled. A lot of it is pretty rough terrain also, but, you get somebody who's determined to come here to do us harm, which some of these known suspected terrorists are here for. That's their only mission.
Oh, I've hunted on the border. I mean, there's a swath of woods that is missing that define the difference between Canada and Maine, and I've walked right down that thing. You know, there's I don't think there's anything there. You know, there's an occasional stone that marks the international border, but
oh really?
Okay. There's certainly no personnel there for miles.
Right.
Crazy.
Right. Well, this other article also by Bethany Blankley, dated May 10. The number of known or suspected terrorists, KSTs, apprehended at the northern border in the first 6 months of fiscal 2024 continued to outpace those apprehended at the southwest border. Well, because we have so many miles of unprotected border. There have been 143 known suspected terrorists apprehended at the northern border through the first 6 months of this fiscal year compared to 92 at the southwest border, according to the most recent CPB data.
Isn't that crazy?
We've got so many more people crossing the southern border, but the known suspected terrorists are coming to the northern border because they think
like I said, a lot of them that cross the southern border kind of want to be caught. But if you want to sneak in you know, without being caught, the way to do it is to cross the northern border.
Yes.
Makes you feel nice and cozy, warm inside, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't. And it makes me wonder why average citizens and our law enforcement are not talking more about it.
Yeah.
Why must we wait until there's some horrible disaster that happens to either a group of people or one person or whatever before we begin to talk about this and take it seriously?
Well, it's coming. That whatever event, Mike, it is going to happen. It is coming. I mean, it's crazy the numbers we're talking about. What did I hear today? 175,000 known getaways, and I was thinking maybe that was a total. No, I think it was this month, something like that. Numbers are mind-boggling.
And they keep breaking records, left and right. Left and right, they keep breaking
records. One more number here before we go real quick. I think I heard the other day that there's been 64 million people fill out the app so that you get an appointment to cross that southern border. 64 million people have already done the app, waiting to cross.
How many states is that the population of?
Unreal. Right back. Yeah. Mike and I have been talking about the northern border, one of those topics that we've talked quite a bit about over the last year or so, because it's, well, not in the news, but it's, but it should be. It's certainly making news.
Yeah, well, it regards our security and our safety, so I wish people would talk more about it.
Yeah, setting records, but this is the disturbing part, Mike. You've got more figures there about the folks that are crossing the northern border that are on the terrorist watch.
Known
suspected terrorists. Oh, that's wonderful.
The greatest number of known suspected terrorists to ever be apprehended in U.S. history was at the northern border in fiscal 2023 of 484.
U.S. history. We're number one. We're setting records.
The next greatest number to be apprehended in U.S. history was 313 at the northern border in fiscal 2022, according to CPB data.
Gee, now we're number one and number two.
Yeah. So I got just one more.
Mike, like I said, this is unfathomable.
Yeah, there's more detail. So if our listeners want to go to centersquare.com and find this article, there's a lot more. But I just want to read one more quote. This is from former Border Patrol chief. Quote, "The alarming conclusion from these numbers is every day we have individuals that are on the FBI terrorist watch list that could have an intention to harm our country and are entering every single day," unquote. Former Border Patrol Chief Mark Morgan told the Center Square, quote, "It's not if or when the threat tries to come to our country. We already know that's happening already. The threat is already here," quote, he said, referring to the at least 2 million gotaways who illegally entered the country and evaded capture. That's the most concerning part, the gotaways.
It's gonna happen. Something is gonna happen. I mean,
they're not here for the movies and the popcorn. That's for
no,
sure.
Probably not. Yeah, just incredible.
Yeah.
So. Well, hey, we'll move on. We did mention that the Vermont legislature is finished.
Well, they took
timeout. Mostly finished, yeah. They did end their session Saturday morning. The House finished up their business at 2:07. The Senate just prior to that at 1:18 last Saturday morning.
Burning the midnight oil, trying to take away your freedom and your tax dollars.
Well, God, at least they stuck to the deadline and and did whatever they had to do. They were going to do it anyway, so why spend more dollars, you know, with the inevitable? So we just want to recap some of the bills, because we do talk about what goes on up there.
Well, I want to considerably, ask some of the bills. Before you get into that, I want to interrupt you 1 second. Do you know, Bill, did any of these bills make Vermonters or anybody who travels to Vermont safer?
Safer, Mike?
And I'm not talking about those false safe injection sites.
Well, yeah, there's some of that stuff. If you would consider that safer,
okay. Did they make the education of our young people, our valuable resource in our young people, did it make education any better?
Now this legislature we have now could care less about the education. That they're all about equity and money,
indoctrination. Yeah,
and they. I don't think they talked about, you know, scores about how well students are doing.
I'm glad. I'm glad you brought up scores. Can I interrupt 1 more second? I attended our school vote, budget vote, and they did talk about scores, and the principal quoted numbers. I think she was talking about for the elementary school kids in the area. The average was about, the proficiency scores, I believe, was like 49%. Okay. She was very proud that they were at 54%. And I said to somebody who was standing next to me or I knew, was, when I graduated school, 54% was an abject failure.
Well, that was an F if you only got 54.
How could you be happy with that? How could anybody be happy with that?
Well, we shouldn't be at a point where having half of our kids not perform well.
They're not ready for college and they're not ready for a trade.
They're not ready for life, Mike.
No, not at all.
My God, there's a number of students children that, you know, won't go to school or even learn a trade. They'll work at Walmart or you know, retail, right. whatever. It doesn't make any difference. If you've got half the kids that are performing that poorly, they're not ready for life.
No, and then where are they? What's their outlook going to be? What's
it's not good.
No, it's not good at all.
It's not good.
So
it's sad.
It's very sad, and it's really disappointing. It makes me pretty angry. You know, they're taking away these kids' future, and the kids don't even realize it. By the time the kids realize it, they're going to have a hell of a time catching up. That's if they're true. Able.
Well,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
One more question for you, Bill, before you get into this list of accomplishments, can we call
Oh, there
it?
You go. There's a new word we haven't heard much. The legislators' accomplishments.
Did any of the bills that they passed make housing more affordable?
No, there are some housing bills, Mike, and we'll probably get into those a little bit and talk about some of them, but nah, they don't care.
No, I think the bills you're talking are more like dormitory style housing, and I wouldn't consider that housing.
Well, let's get into it. That's those supposedly what they consider to be a housing bill that amounted to Act 250 reform, which desperately needs to be reformed.
Well, I think they changed the definition of reform if that's what they're calling this bill.
Yeah, so in the end, what happened was, or in the beginning, because that was their intent, it never was about housing. It never was about reforming Act 250. It was about climate change. The entire bill wound up being about climate change and their need to have everybody live in a high rise in a densely populated city.
Back in the 1700s, did we have high rises in this state?
Not too many.
I don't think so.
Ones we had were mostly called pine trees.
Well, this was
some of those are over 100 feet tall.
Yeah,
some nice king's pines.
Oh yeah,
used to use them for mass on ships, sailing ships.
Okay, right.
King's pines. Yeah, those are high rise.
This was mostly agriculture and logging, right? And there are a lot of people who made a heck of a future doing that.
Well,
how can you do that now?
You know, how many people moved to Vermont to go live in a high rise?
Not me.
Well, not me. I
guarantee you that.
So, and like I said, the end result of this thing, which was its intent, was to reform Act 250 to make this densely populated housing less overburdened so that it's easier to build high rises
and harder to build
in Vermont
in rural areas.
In 90% of the state, rural areas, yeah, it'll be more difficult. Is that really going to help?
In a primarily rural state, they didn't help. They've helped virtually nobody.
Made it worse. For 90% of us.
So that's, like I said, they changed the definition of reform.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they did.
Yeah. So that's what happened with our housing bill, this biennium.
Yeah.
Was,
so, well, yeah, I did.
I don't know. They're building the tallest building in the whole state, I would presume. It's the tallest building in Burlington right now, right? That's under construction.
Oh, is that what I briefly read the beginning of an article about
7,
that.
8, 9, 10 story. I don't even know what it is, but I think it is the tallest building in Burlington, so it must be the tallest building in the state, I would assume.
Yeah.
And I guess that's what they want. You know, they want everybody to live in a 800 square foot cubicle.
Stacked in cubicles.
Yep. Yep.
Because, you know.
Oh, that's really efficient. That's great for the climate, Mike.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
I don't see how. I like our listeners to look up the definition. The real definition of a heat island. Yeah, a city is basically a heat island. So,
probably so.
Yeah. I mean, you've got flat roofs, you've got pavement. Most of it's either concrete or blacktop.
Covered in glass.
Brick buildings. It's,
yeah,
and you referred to the climate change stuff. It's, so,
well, that, yeah,
insane.
That's what happened to the housing bill. So the other, one of the biggest bill, of course, is the state's budget. $8.6 billion. Going to take effect July 1. Unbelievable.
Sad.
Well, and from everything I hear, Governor Scott will probably sign it. I mean, if he could veto it, but it wouldn't do any good. They would just turn around and pass it. There's already a veto session scheduled for June 17. So it wouldn't do any good.
Well, for all of our listeners, make sure in November you've done all your research and talked to 10 of your friends and get them out there to vote so that hopefully we can reverse course.
Well, something's going to have to change, Mike. We're
headed to financial ruin.
We can't afford to stay here. This is crazy. Yeah. So, speaking of crazy, they did finalize the yield bill, too. They have to do that. It establishes the average statewide property tax. Gee, it's only 14%.
Only.
Yeah. Well, that's thanks in part to a $25 million buy-down. So, yeah, and, you know, they say, oh, we bought it down 25 million, so we reduced the – all that is they created another tax. So it doesn't have to be on real estate. It's on something else.
So it's just legislative hocus-pocus.
Well, it's out of one pocket instead of the other.
Right.
How many Vermonters, you know, are fooled? Oh, gee, our real estate taxes, they did a really nice job. It's only up on average 14%.
How many people's paycheck went up 14%?
Well.
How many people's grocery bill went up more than 14%, an average of 20% or more?
Yeah,
everybody's.
That's the most expensive vehicle to operate these days, the shopping cart?
Yeah. Well, it's sad, but it's true.
Yeah.
That's another thing I wish people would be talking more about. So.
Yeah, so, well, and there, well, I was going to say there's hope, but the apparently the yield bill will probably be vetoed. And so we'll see what happens come June 17th. The governor's been after these folks to, you know, you can't raise taxes that much.
No, you can't.
And you know what really girds me, Mike?
Well.
I think it was last session, they added $30 million to the education fund intentionally, knowing that this was going to add to this burden this year.
Well, they start the programs.
Well, they did it for, yeah, it was a program.
Underfund them and say, we're in it, we got to do it.
Universal school lunches. We can't, you know, discriminate or have some child think that, you know, they're, you know, be pointed out as a free lunch. But it's worse because $30 million added to the education fund to have doctors and lawyers' kids get a free school lunch. But, Mike, they're handing out EBT cards all summer.
It's not about sending checks.
It's not about school.
No, it's not.
It's not about school lunch.
No, it's not about school lunch. It's about socialism. It's about getting kids used to what does the left call it now? The term... universal basic income.
Oh, there you go.
That's what it's all about.
But if they wanted to reduce that tax rate, well, there's a place right there you could knock $30 million off.
$12 million plus for the clean heat standard, just for the infrastructure to start to figure out how they're going to pay for it.
Oh, that's another whole...
That's $42 million. Boy, I could buy a lot with $42 million.
The Vermont tax commissioner says the Vermonters are paying over $490 million in new taxes this year alone.
Bill, can I ask you a question?
I thought you already asked three. Isn't that the limit?
Oh, no. How many fancy canoes can you buy with that many millions?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
You could have a canoe on every lake you ever thought of.
Oh, my word, Mike. There were so many ways that the legislature, if they wanted to, could have reduced that yield bill and made it, you know, more palatable, more affordable for everybody, but they refused to do it. That was never, never part of the conversation. No. Unbelievable.
Cloward and Piven.
There we go.
Overwhelm the system.
Well, they're doing it well. They're doing one thing well, Mike. We'll be right back. More Right Side Up to come.
Some people say love is just a gamble. I'll be mad here. My lonely room now.
You're listening to Right Side Up. My name is Mike Taglavia. My co-host is Bill Huff. We've been talking about some of the things that have passed the or made it through to the end of the session in Montpelier. Before we get deeper into it, I just want to remind our listeners that you can get a hold of us at rightsideupradio@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to us any time of the day or night, go to WNTK.com, search across the top, click on podcast, scroll down to Right Side Up, and click on any number of our shows. Hopefully you'll give us a listen, share it with a friend.
Yeah, I'm running into more and more people all the time that listen to the podcast. That's awesome.
Great to know. Great to hear.
Yep.
So, what did you say? H72 actually made it all the way to the end.
Yeah. Well, was there ever any doubt?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, I held out hope, but it looked like
Burlington wanted it.
What did they title it? They changed the.
Well, it's billed as an overdose prevention site.
I think it's more like bring you back from the dead site. But there are too many unanswered questions, and I don't know if they addressed a lot of that stuff after crossover.
Well, it's doubtful. I mean, this, to our understanding, this will be the first one in the country that is run by the state. Up until this time, it's been NGOs, you know, different organizations that have run these things on the West Coast. But now, where you know, the state is
sanctioned.
Yep.
It's a very sad day.
Well, it is
very very sad day.
And as
young as 12, they could walk in and use these, avail themselves of this junk.
It's just crazy. And you know, the likelihood of this thing coming back and biting us all in the backside is huge. One, yes, because it, you know, it is a state sanctioned site. We're dealing with substances that kill people,
and we know that they kill people. How many statistics must we actually see?
Do we control them on the way to this thing? You know, they're going to be using before, after. You've mentioned that several times.
What do you do?
The liability here is nuts.
It's
crazy.
What about the rest of the community? The business owners,
who wants that in their backyard?
No, I mean, who's going to go and clean up?
You talk about NIMBY. There's one right there.
Right, but what about the people who can't get into this site? Does anybody have any anticipation of how many people this site is going to? What the demand is going to be?
Well, hey,
it's like holy moly,
it's an attraction. It's like Church Street,
right?
For users,
yeah. I suspect they're going to be overwhelmed. What about the neighborhood? Who's going to get paid to go pick up the dirty needles, which are probably all over anyway?
24/7, or do you have to schedule your drug use?
Good question. I need.
Yeah, I know some of this stuff, Mike. You just can't fathom.
Hey, boss, I need a couple hours off. Wow, I'm going to the what do they call it? Overdose prevention site. Really, how long are you going to be? Well, I plan on being gone for 2 hours, but it may be four. Who the hell knows?
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah, so, hey, another one of those awesome bills that just added to your taxes. The unaffordability of living in this state is that clean heat standard going to raise electric rates over the next few years. You know, they set a date, a target date, when everything we use, 100%, I think, has to be from renewables. And the stupid thing was, and I think we mentioned this last week, 30% of it has to be domestic renewables, which means it's got to be housed here.
I'm gonna pull a word that the left has thrown on us: unsustainable. They've set goals that are actually not attainable.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to make, like you said, to drive the cost of virtually everything through the roof.
Well, so the estimates and increased electric cost of Vermonters is somewhere between $500 million and $1 billion over the next 10 years.
Right. So you're going to increase demand and lower the supply. What happens? Price skyrockets. So, and you take away all the other options, viable options, right? for heat?
How long before they outlaw pellet stoves
and wood stoves and propane heat?
You can't use it, Mike.
No, they're just going to make it so stinking expensive.
Yeah, if you want to pay $10, $12 a gallon for heating fuel, oh, go right ahead. Yeah, that's fine.
You know what it's going to do? There's going to be bootleg oil suppliers.
Damn right there is. I'm going to go get a 55-gallon drum and buy it in New Hampshire. Haul it back.
You think you're going to be the only one?
Of course not.
You know, back when you know how NASCAR got started, right? Bootleggers?
We're going to have
a new NASCAR?
When I lived in Alaska, we had at least two or three 55-gallon drums outside. One was to go down to the fuel dock and get heating fuel with a hand pump. And the other one was for gasoline. There was no gas station.
No.
So we went down and bought our gas, 55 gallons at a time, and you backed up to your own 55-gallon drum, pump what you needed. I know how to do it.
It's how you make sure that you can survive.
So I did want to mention that I started trying to do some math the other day, and I just asked Google, Hey Google, how much electricity in total does the state of Vermont use over the course of a year? So who knows how accurate it is. But anyway, if the 30% of that annual use, then I tried to convert into how many acres of solar panels it would take to produce that amount of electricity. Because they're saying 30% of it has to be produced here domestically.
Did they mean domestically in the U.S.?
No, in Vermont.
Intrastate, inside the border.
Yes, so 30% of that total, according to this bill that's passed, is going to have to come from the state of Vermont. So if the solar panels worked extremely efficiently, which... The ones that we have right now, available today. Yeah, but in an environment where they... produced what they're capable of producing, and we're not.
No, not in February or January.
Of course not. No, the sun's low, half the time they're covered in snow. So if the panels were situated in someplace like Arizona on the desert, where they had maximum capacity, I figured we'd have to cut down somewhere between 6,000 and 10,000 acres of woods to put solar panels up.
Oh, okay. Bill, so we would be returning Vermont to back, what, 80 to 100 years ago, right? When Vermont was 80% cleared.
Well, either cut down that amount of trees or cover pastures, cover our open land that
One of the worst land uses you can think of.
But thousands of acres. Well, it's either that, Mike, or blow up every ridge line that we've got in the entire state and cover them with windmills. That's the only options, I think.
Those never pay for themselves. I don't care what anybody tells you.
No.
And what do you do when they leak? They're an environmental disaster anyway.
The whole thing is just incredible.
Unattainable.
We seem to go down this path all the time, and it's just crazy. So it's not all bad news. Mike, there was some good news, and I guess this was kind of good news. This is a bill we've talked about, previously. It was S-58, and this was a bill, the law as it currently was, and we talked about this on a couple of shows, I think. If you had a drug dealer in court because he had sold a substance to an individual and that person had died, it was a legitimate defense to say, I didn't know the LSD had fentanyl in it. I thought I was just selling him LSD, and it was the fentanyl that killed him. And that, in the past, in Vermont, had been a legitimate defense, believe it or not.
That sounds insane.
Well, it is, but we talked about, I think, at least two cases that we found where the judge threw it out. So S-58, which is now law, I think is going to take care of that. The bill amends the definition of knowingly for purposes of liability in drug offenses. So hopefully that loophole has been closed.
I hope so. Yeah. I mean, how many more people must we lose to drug overdoses?
And it also says here it increases penalties for second and subsequent offenses for trafficking in a prosecution for dispensing or selling a regulated drug with death resulting. So That's on the right track, at least.
Yeah, it's just kind of contradictory when we have this overdose prevention site. It's like, wait a minute, you're enabling it, and then you're doing it. It's just, I can't make sense of it. It just, you either want to help people break their addiction or you don't. And it doesn't sound like they, in this state, the legislature really wants to help people break their addiction.
Now, there are actually a bunch of progressives that hated this bill. Oh, all you're going to do is incarcerate more people. Yeah, for the second, third, fourth time that they've killed somebody?
Yeah, right.
You know, some people deserve to be incarcerated, Mike.
Well, yeah.
They don't think anybody belongs in jail. Another real important part of this bill was it had delayed the next phase of an initiative to increase the age at which nonviolent offenders are referred to family court. So there was a bill that passed here a year or two ago that said that, you know, even at age 18, 19, 20, you're not an adult anymore. You can commit these crimes and still wind up in family court. And the age was increasing every year after year.
And what kind of severity of these crimes are you talking about?
Well, it said non-violent, so who knows. But anyway, the intent of the bill was to treat 19, 20, 21-year-olds as children. And have those offenses, and well, it's already law. It's already happening.
It's insane.
But like I said, the age it didn't go into effect all at once. Every couple of years, the age got bumped up another year. So this bill delayed the bump.
Okay, well that's good.
Yeah,
it still contradicts the idea that an 8-year-old could go and tell the school nurse, "Well, I feel I'm a boy, but I feel like a little girl," and they can rush him into that nonsense. It doesn't make sense.
So there was another bill, and this is also some good news. We're going to try to finish up with some good news. We only got a few minutes left here. But H-612 did not pass, although I think it did pass out of the Senate or the House. It got hung up in the other chamber. And that was a bill they wanted unlimited THC available in.
Well, that's a good
different.
Thing.
Well,
it's already too high.
In both the smokable marijuana as well as edibles or whatever, they just wanted a
right. And you and I have talked about this 60% in this state, I think.
Well, I think that's what it is right now, 60-65%.
And we've talked, I brought it and we went over a few articles about, what those levels of THC do to the human brain and to people.
Well, apparently one of the committees took testimony that in the state of Vermont, there's been an increase of child poisonings from THC over 2,000%. So somebody finally came to their senses and said, "You know what?
Maybe this is a bad idea."
Yeah, they're killing kids. You know, the edibles, whatever kid picks it up, and the THC is so strong in some of those products. Hey, the other thing we've talked about a lot, several different shows, was S-258. That was the bill to politicize the Fish and Game Board,
which is working fine the way it is.
Oh God, yes.
Okay. And they were going to just throw a whole bunch of rocks in the gears.
Well, they were going to politicize it.
Right.
They wanted control again in the legislature rather than have the Fish and Wildlife Board have control. And that died in the House committee. It never got voted out of the House committee onto the floor of the House. So that bill is dead, at least for now.
Yeah, been tabled. Well, I'm going to consider it tabled, not dead.
Oh, yeah. No, it'll probably come back.
I'm going to try to revive it.
Yeah. The only other thing I'll say on that is it doesn't speak well of the Senate fish or the committee that passed out 5-0. They should be ashamed of themselves.
I wish they would be too, but I doubt they will be.
That's all for this week, folks. As always, stay safe, stay informed. Listener, right side up.